We're learning Koheles, so we're in the first chapter. We're at the Pasuk Gimel. So we plowed through the first two sentences last week, and here we are in Pasuk Gimel. We have to read Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Daled together, as we'll see in the first commentary that we'll see today. They really go hand in hand. So Pasuk Gimel begins on our source sheet, Ma Yisron L'Adam, what profit is there to man? B'chol amalo she'amol tachas hashamesh. All of the labor, the work in which a person labors throughout their life, tachas hashamesh, under the sun. We're going to see many times that in Koheles we find this expression, tachas hashamesh. To imagine there's many explanations to what that means. Pasuk Daled tells us, Dor holech v'dor ba, v'aretz olam omadas. That one generation goes away, another generation ba comes, but the land, the earth, is always. Which, a lot of times when you see a question, a pasuk which is so obvious, there's usually a reason why, and it's come to tell us something above and beyond. We know that the land, the earth, is l'olam omadas, but nonetheless, we'll have to see some commentaries when we eventually get to Pasuk Daled. But nonetheless, again, we're going to see this direct connection between Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Daled right now. If we look on page 3 in our packet, we can see on the middle right side the commentary called the Mahari Tarani, which is underlined, which begins on page 3, and then we'll skip in a moment to page 5 thereafter. He explains as follows. When it says, Ma Yisron, what does it mean? He says, what is the profit? What is the benefit? So, what Shlomo HaMelech is coming to tell us, on one hand, the surface, it may sound a little bit morbid, but nonetheless, we're going to see Rashi's interpretation thereafter. The Mari Tareni says as follows. Mato Eles Yel Adam. What is the true benefit, purpose of a human being, b'chol malo, shu'amu, all the work that you put forth, you work so hard to climb that corporate ladder, and at the end, maybe you'll get a golden watch if you're lucky at the end of the day. V'kone kinyonim b'olam hazeh, and you're so busy acquiring new things, getting nicer cars, larger boats, after all, hello, turn to page 5, which is now in the bottom right of our packet. Dor holech v'dor ba. So you see how he reads that Pasuk Gimel and Pasuk Daled are connected. What is the true benefit of constantly focused on building your material wealth, your possessions? After all, dor holech v'dor ba. Kolomar, as he says in the bottom right of page 5, sofo. What is the end? Sofo kol. Everyone ultimately will pass away. L'niach hakol, and leave everything behind. What was that? That's true. It certainly is beneficial maybe for your children. But if it's for your own focus of growth, if your whole focus of growth is financial growth, unfortunately it has a very finite time. It's limited. And that's what it means, that the generation comes and the generation goes. Zeh Perushu shel Hevel Havolon. And ultimately, all, as we spoke about last week, even though you could give it over to your generation, your children, your heirs, ultimately, they too shall pass, they will pass, and also possessions will not necessarily endure. They will not last for a long time. And with this, I'm reminded of the famous story of the Reichmans. There's an extremely wealthy, wealthy family. They own, what don't they own? Very, very wealthy. And as the story goes, there was one of the Reichman members unfortunately passed away. And he requested something very unusual. He requested to be buried with his socks. You know this one. And people read this in his, in the will, and, on one hand, It says in Halakha that if a person is going to be buried with the ritual shrouds of the Tachrichim, you don't get buried with your nice little white fluffy socks. That's not part of the garb of the Tachrichim, of the shrouds. On the other hand, this is a Reichman. I mean, you know, if he wants to be buried in socks, you know, who am I to say no? But there was discussion and discussion. They said, this is ridiculous. He cannot be buried in the socks. But that's what he asked for, and unfortunately it didn't occur. What not everyone realized was sometime later there was an additional will in which needed to be read, which no one was allowed to open. And sure enough, after some time, well after the burial, they opened up this letter and it said, "You see, my children, when it comes to the afterlife, you can't even take your socks with you. Can't even take your socks with you." He absolutely knew. And the message, what he was trying to instill upon his heirs, was, yes, here's some wealth, but ultimately, it's only a finite. It's not forever. And therefore, make use of this world for other things. The things which do not just come and go. Which we're going to see in a moment in Rashi, what that is. If we look, actually, going out of order again, since we touched upon Pasuk Dalet on page 5, since we are still on page 5, we look at this Rashi, which says, Dor holech v'dor ba, that a generation passes away and another one comes. So Rashi says, Kol ma shaharasha yegiya v'omel, all the work and toil that a Rasha tries to accomplish, and not through honest business dealings, but Rashi says, "L'asoik v'ligzol ein mabalos masa." He's busy stealing and tricking the government and cheating on his taxes, the face, whatever. I'm not calling anyone who does that in Russia, but nonetheless, if you think the reason why you're doing it is to have a more comfortable tomorrow, and therefore I'm going to hand it over to my children, who says that your children will follow the same hashkafot philosophies as you? Maybe the tables will turn, and they themselves will not act wicked as you did. And therefore, says Rashi, when it says, Dor holich v'dor ba, the Rasha who accumulates the wealth, but in an inappropriate manner, by stealing, ki ador holich v'dor acher ba, v'notil hakol miyad bono, everything will be taken away from the hands of your children. Ki inyan shenemar bono b'yiratzu dalim. Now the pasuk that's quoted here in Job and Eov is that the children will want to give it back to those who are impoverished, those who are the dalim, the poor, the people who you stole from. But it also can, the idea is that if a person steals something, crime doesn't pay. And therefore if you're based on stealing or accumulating things in a manner which you shouldn't, realize that this is all hevel havolim, and you're really chasing after things which you shouldn't be chasing after. Let's comment every single time. Go ahead. And every time you have anything.
I find this to be extremely negative.
Yes.
These commentaries.
Yes.
Because when you work hard, it's not really just to, you know, be rich necessarily. It's also to be comfortable.
True.
And the key in life is, yes, we want to leave things for our children.
Yes.
Not so much so that they're going to be wealthy and steal, and like the whole concept of stealing.
Right.
I mean, I just read about 4 people who were pardoned by the Clintons who had made up a yeshiva, a false yeshiva with students and all that.
Right.
So the whole concept of that, like, again, it's very negative. The message here is negative rather than it should be more positive.
Right. We certainly want to make it a little more uplifting, so hopefully we'll try to accomplish that.
In your entire life, it's very uplifting.
If you see in real life, the next generation does not necessarily do the right thing either.
Right.
They will enjoy what came to them from whichever way. So, you know, it's not always that it's going to turn around.
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to discuss, when we get in greater depth into Pasuk Dalet, the idea of, as you said perfectly, of Dor Holich V'Dor Ba, means that even though the previous generations have made mistakes, and maybe we would have the opportunity to learn from those mistakes, those generations have come and gone, and now a new generation comes, and they still don't pick up from where they left off. Instead of growing and learning from other people's errors in the history of life, unfortunately, history often tends to repeat itself. And that we're going to touch upon again, the connection or the comparison between what he considers to be Hevel Havolim and that which he considers to be of tremendous value, which is what Rashi is going to touch upon right now. If we go to page 3, Rashi says in the words, Tachas HaShemesh. Okay? Tachas HaShemesh. Actually, before we get to that, before we get all warm and fuzzy, let's stay in the same line of thought and jump down on page 3 to the Eben Ezra. The Eben Ezra, as we mentioned, the words Tachas HaShemesh is mentioned throughout the text of Ecclesiastes. And we're going to see a few explanations exactly what does he mean under the sun. So the Eben Ezra says as follows. Who is man, when it says under the sun, it's the bottom left on page 3. Hamishapech ki HaShemesh levado yoylid hazman. Ki hayom toli b'shemesh me'es zarcho v'ad bo'oy. The way that the sun works just like, well, clockwork. That the sun rises and it sets. V'laylohum eis hu HaShemesh ad zarcho. And when it comes to, when it's dark outside, it's from the time that the sun has set until finally it shines again. Yirakochavim, during that time when it's dark, the stars will shine. Ohalavana, the moon. Oloyiru. Or maybe be a cloudy day, you won't be able to see it, as it says in Parshas Noach. V'chein zer v'katzir v'kor v'chom v'kaitz v'choyrig. Hashem promises that after the Mabul, that there will never be again such a flood, and that everything in nature will continue. The seasons will continue. There will be the heat. There'll be the warmth, the cold, the summer, the kaitz, the choyrig, the winter. All these things will continue. So the significance of how some of the Mepharshim explain of Tachas HaShemesh is the concept of Teva, of nature. That Shlomo HaMelech compares things which are finite, which is Teva, nature, which, of course, as he considers to be the greatest element of nature, is the sun. Because we live, everything is connected to the sun. As he said in Eben Ezra, the way that our days... It's warm out, it's cold out, we put on earmuffs, we put on a bathing suit. Everything is Teva, nature is connected to to the sun. And Teva, as we've seen elsewhere, as well as last week, is always connected to seven. As we saw in Pasuk Bet, the word Hevel Havolim, seven times, because the word Havolim is twice. So Hevel, anything which is seven, Teva, nature, is finite, is something which really ultimately will not last, and therefore Shlomo considers it to be Hevel Havolim. And therefore, the opposite, of course, of that which is not Hevel Havolim are things which are Nitzchiot, things which are eternal, things which are infinite, things that will last forever. And the question is exactly how does one achieve that level of becoming infinite. In fact, this was a question that Jackie Mason was asked once. He said, how is it possible that you can become, reach that level of being infinite? And he said, by not dying. That was his answer, by not dying. Some explain the way that a person can reach that level of being no longer being finite is three ways. This is not written in any safer. But this is actually written, I've heard once. You write a book, you plant a tree, or have a child. Those three ways, even though you pass, but these things continue from one generation to the next. However, the way that Shlomo HaMelech interprets it is even those things will not necessarily endure. Those things may last a few more generations, a building, 20 more generations. But ultimately, it will not last forever. And therefore, that which does last has to be something which is not connected to nature. Something which, of course, we're going to define in Rashi in a moment will be the Torah. And this is also how the Me'am always explains the concept of Tachas HaShemesh. Let's say, for example, you have a table over here. So I can go over the table. I wouldn't recommend it. Or I can go under the table. Okay? Now, for me to make that statement, I must have already have had a table here. Which means, I came after the table. The table is here. Now that it's here, I can decide to go over it or under it. If there's nothing there, I cannot go over or under nothing. So Tachas HaShemesh means that anything which is under the sun, which means anything that came after the creation of the sun, those things are finite. So if we can somehow find something that was around, not before or after the sun, not to be able to go before, above or under it, then we'll be able to find something which is infinite. And that is where we turn to the words of Rashi. Rashi explains beautifully Tachas HaShemesh. On page 3, Tachas HaShemesh means Temuras HaTorah. Temura in Halacha is if a person has an animal, you're not allowed to do this. But if you have an animal which is designated to the Beit HaMikdash, and it's holy, it's Kodesh, and you say, oh, I love my little lammy, I don't want to give it away. So a temura is an exchange. You say, the holiness of this animal will be switched over to this one. Which, by the way, if you do that, don't do it, because both of them become holy. It works that the other one becomes holy, but it doesn't remove the holiness from the first. But the word temura, I'm saying this because of the word that Rashi chooses, temura satoru. Tachas HaShemesh means anything instead of, or in exchange of, or different from the Torah. So therefore, anything which is connected to spirituality, Ruchnias Torah, that of course is not in any way, shape or fashion, Hevel Havol. If we look at Rashi on page 5, he continues and says, Shehoye Kriya Or. Because, interesting, the Shemesh, of course, produces light. But the Torah also is considered to be light. Shenemar, as it says in Proverbs, the Torah or, that Torah is light. Kol omushu machlif bo, es esik ha-Torah maschar bo. Therefore, he says, anything which is against, or not connected in any way to Torah, then what true benefit is there, right? Which you say, what do you mean? But there is reward. What does that mean in Rashi? Kol omoshu machlit bo aseisek haTorah maschar bo. If a person works and it's not connected any way to supporting Torah, to learning Torah, so what do you mean maschar lo? There's still reward, right? So either you can say in the morbid fashion as we had that it won't last, or you can explain it in a different manner. The Chavetz Chaim actually asks the question. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
It's also in a negative way. Anything that does not have to do anything with the Torah,
right,
there is no reward to it. I think there's no value. No sahar, no reward.
Yeah. Which we know is not true. Which is not true. I mean, so what if it's finite? It doesn't last, but it's still schar. Right? It still has some value. Right? Who says it doesn't have value? So, the Chavetz Chaim explains in the following manner. He explains, there's an interesting statement that a person makes anytime that there's a siyum. There's an expression, we compare those who study Torah to those who don't study Torah. And we say, we study, we're an omel, they do not work. They don't work. They don't work. They don't toil. We work umekabel and sachar and receive reward. They work and they don't get reward. On this, Chavetz Chaim asks the question that we're asking, what are you talking about? They get reward, they get a paycheck. So he explains in the following way, in the means of a mashal, a parable. He says that if in the good old days, if you wanted to get a suit, so you didn't just go to a place wherever you go, to Men's Warehouse, you have to actually give material. You have wool, you know, big stacks of wool, buttons, thread, whatever you have, and you give it to a tailor, and he measures you, and he says, come back in a week, and you have a nice suit, pay him a few dollars, and you call it a day. And, you know, he'll give you whatever leftover materials you gave him. So you did that. A week went by, and you went to him, and you said, okay, time for my suit. How does it look? I really apologize. What do you mean, what do you apologize for? Where's my suit? So let me explain. I spent about 10 hours working on that suit. And for some reason, my machine broke, and it tore some of the material, and it just didn't work out. Unfortunately, I don't have a suit to give you. But here's the leftover torn material. You can use it for something else. So, okay, thank you very much. See you later. Oh, 1 second, don't leave. I said, what do you mean, don't leave? What am I staying here for? He goes, you didn't pay me. So what do you mean I didn't pay you? You didn't do what I asked you to do. You didn't give me a suit. He goes, but I worked for 10 hours. So the answer is it doesn't make a difference. You could work for 100 hours, but if you're not going to give me the final product, you're not getting paid. Explains the Chofetz Chaim. That is how it works in this world. When in this world, it's the bottom line. If you're able to give the goods, then you get paid. If not, not. And it doesn't make a difference if you're able to finish making that suit in 5 minutes or in 15 hours. What do I care? I just care about the final product. When it comes to Torah, that's not how God operates. God does not operate in how many pages or how many hours or how much Torah you have in your head and how smart you are. God cares about the effort. And God rewards you, not for the final product, but for the effort. Explains the Chofetz Chaim, when it says that they work, it doesn't mean that they work and don't get paid. It says they are amel, which means they do not get paid for the amelus, for the toil, for the effort. They only get paid if they produce a final product. However, us, anu amelim, umekablin sachar. We get paid not for our final product, but for the effort that we put forth. And therefore, maybe, this is what Rashi means. That this is also referring to, it's not trying to say that when it comes to an individual who doesn't learn Torah, that they're not going to get reward, but it means they're not going to be getting the credit for the energy and the effort that they expend on the work that they put forth. And the reason why it may really be the truth is because if we look at the Pasuk, it's interesting the language that the Pasuk uses over here. If we look back at Pasuk Gimel, it says, Ma'yisron la'adam b'chol amalo. And what does amalo mean?
His work.
The work, but it doesn't mean the final product. The amelut. The amelut, the effort. What is the purpose, the benefit of your effort? Because you do not get paid in this finite world for the effort that you put in. Only for the final product. And therefore, that's maybe what Rashi is saying. Temura Tatorah. The exception to that rule is when it comes to Torah. When it comes to studying Torah, Hashem does not look at the final product. But it's Bechol Amalo. It's even the effort, the energy that you put forth. And this is, yeah.
So you don't really get paid for being smart. You may pick this up or learn the whole Torah today and get a person who maybe would only learn the first line, but maybe put more effort into it because they don't have the brain power or something
right.
like that.
God gives more credit to the second individual because we're not judged keeping up with the Joneses. Ultimately, we're judged based on ourselves. The litmus test is, can we be all that we can be? Not, can I be better than you? Because the fact that you're smarter than me and you don't have to study for a test, unfortunately, you'll get an A and I'll get a B. But in God's eyes, that A is worthless. Because, big deal, I gave you that skill. I gave you those abilities. For the B, I worked like a dog. So God looks at me like, wow. So it's a completely different world. Which is how I also understand Moshe. Moses, it says, he was clearly the most brilliant man in his time. The Torah says he was a prophet of like no other Nevi'im, spoke face to face, anthropomorphically speaking, but nonetheless he spoke directly to God. And yet the Torah says in the same breath, Va'ish Moshe anav ma'od mikol adam. He's the most humble of men. How could you be the most humble person and be a genius and be a brilliant person? It's not because he didn't think he was smart. He knew he was smart. He knew he got the Torah. He knew he spoke to God. But he also understood that when he was born, as it says in next week's parsha, there was a light that emanated from his body. He was not a normal human being when he was born. So God gave him gifts and talents from the get-go. So you can have all those skills and you can say, big deal. If someone else gave the skills that I and all the talents that I have, they'd probably be better than me. And therefore, you could be whatever you want. Even a Moshe Rabbeinu could look at himself and say, big deal. Because God handed me this all these skills God handed me. And therefore, this is, as you said, you could study the whole Torah, but if it comes naturally and easily to you, your reward will not necessarily be any better than the person who spent all day reading one word, one sentence, but they put everything, their heart, their soul, everything, that person God looks at in a completely different way. But that's not something which it's impossible for us to judge. It's only something which is infinite, something which is not tachas ha-shemesh. Anything under the sun, we're unable to look in such a fashion. Now it says in this pasuk, "Ma yisron la'adam." The idea and purpose of ourselves in this world is that we should elevate ourselves to the level of an adam, to that of a human being, because as it's brought down, there's actually four different steps. There's four different levels in this world. Everything in this world is four different levels. There's domain. Something which is silence, which has no life in it whatsoever, like a stone, a rock. Then the next level is something which has some life in it, like a tree. The next level is a behemoth. And then, hopefully above that, is ada, is medaber, someone that can speak. And in fact, some of the mefarshim explain when it comes to the laws of the Amidah. Why is it necessary if the Shmona Esrei, which is supposed to be a heartfelt prayer, a Vodah Shebelev, why do we speak when we pray to God? If it's something which comes from the heart, so then think. Why do you have to actually say the words? And some explain that it's in order to be able to distinguish ourselves from an animal. That we are not animals, we are a cut above. Or a medaber. And this is the importance of being able to improve ourselves to this level. And when it says, Mayisron l'adam b'chol malo, what he's saying is, what really is separating ourselves from the rest of the animal kingdom? Those who pursue only material wealth based on their instincts, their own pleasures, or potentially maybe wanting to elevate yourself above that. And based on that idea, Tachas HaShemesh means that we, the Jewish people, when Avraham was taken outside, and God showed him the Kochavim, he said, Ko Yezarecha, so will be your children. And it doesn't mean that we'll be as many as the stars, because we're not that many, right? It means we have the level, the ability that each one of us can reach that level of going all the way to the sky, to the Kochavim. We have endless potential, which is the reason, as I've mentioned before, not here, that the opposite of endless potential is a roof, that we limit ourselves, we put a ceiling. And that's the reason why, interestingly enough, on Sukkot, we sit in the sukkah. You have to see the stars. And what is, if you notice in the Haftorah, not once, but more than once, The reading of the Haftorah and Sukkot is the story of the futuristic war of Gog, Umagog. And the Shoresh, the root word of Gog, is Gog, is a roof. And some explain that the war of Gog, Umagog could mean with a bunch of guns and swords, but it could also mean an inner struggle. That do we create a Gog, a roof for ourselves, or are we able to look through the roof of our sukkah and be able to go all the way to the stars? And that's the goal. Well, we try, but that's tachas hashemesh. That's what it means under the sun. The sun is actually a star as well, and what it's coming to signify is that our lack is going under the stars, because we should be going above it.
Actually, it's Tachat HaShamayim, which includes everything.
Yes, that's correct. Well, that's probably synonymous with what it's to the Shemesh. Yeah, most likely so. But our goal, again, is to elevate ourselves so that we're able to distinguish ourselves between that and animals and the rest of the animal race. And that's, we'll go back to Pasuk Dalet just for a few minutes, we'll stop, is the reason why in the Teva, very interesting, if you study the measurements of the Ark, it's a very, all the art projects in every school, you have three levels, they take a bunch of soda cans and garbage they put on the bottom. That's where all the garbage was. And on the middle level, you have all the animals. Unlike the pictures, they have the giraffes and elephants on the roof. And the top level is for people. Now, the way that the Torah describes it is not the way the pictures show this boat, but it's actually the way the Torah describes the ark. It doesn't make the description that the top level is any smaller than the middle level, the middle level is any smaller than the top, bottom level. It's very interesting. So what's the problem? The middle level had every single animal in the world, right? However that happened, it was obviously a miracle. The top level, and if you studied the dimensions of the Teva, it wasn't the size of this room. It was pretty large. How many people were in that ark? Only eight people. They literally lived in a mansion. It was a suite. They crammed all the animals into the middle level, and you have only eight people. If I was the architect, if I did some interior designing of that ark, I would have had all the animals on the top two levels, and I would have had like a few bunk beds in a tiny little corner, and that's it. Why do you need this huge room?
Why not?
Why not? That's a good answer. But the way that I understand it is, as we're saying, is that just as it's so clear to distinguish the difference between animals and the junk and the garbage and the waste on the bottom, that the animals are cut above and a floor above the garbage, we also needed to realize that we are not on the same level as the animal kingdom. That we needed to be on a completely different level. And then by going on that other level, it gave us that perspective so that God willing would be able to build from then forward. All right, let's conclude with one last thought about the sun. A lot of different things. Let's see. How can I make this a little bit positive? Impossible. Pasuk Dalet said, as we saw, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba V'Aretz L'Olam Omedes. Right. That one generation has come, one generation has gone. So we said the issue is that unfortunately we do not learn from our mistakes. And going back to this idea of the Shemesh. The Shemesh also has something to do with to be able to serve. The Shemesh, like there's a Shemesh on the Chanukiah, which we just had. It does exactly as it's instructed to do. It doesn't deviate from its instruction. As we saw already in Nebuchadnezzar, it rises in the east and it sets in the west. There's every single time. It does not change and deviate from that which it's required or instructed to do. And if we look at this Rashi over here, the Aretz L'Olam, on page 5, the Aretz L'Olam, Umihem Hamiskayamim, who are able to endure and live and continue? Those who are anavim anemuchim, right? Those people who have lowered themselves and who are able to humble themselves. Hamagin atzmo ad aretz, that they literally, as it talks about the end, this passage says, "Aretz l'olam omenes." The land stands forever. We know that the land stands forever. The Sif Sichamim asks, so it means that those who are able to lower themselves ad l'aretz unto the ground, that they are not so proud and haughty. Ke'inyan shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, "V'anovim yirshu aretz." Those who are humble, they will inherit the land. And then it says, it doesn't quote this, but the rest of the pasuk in Tehillim says, "Vis angu al rov shalom," that they're happy on rov shalom, when things are basically going well, that they don't harp on the small things, they don't sweat the small stuff. Medrash Tanchuma Omar, Kol Tzadik Yisrael Nikru Aretz. Those who are righteous are considered to be the land. And therefore, in conclusion, if we read this pasuk, pasuk Dalet, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba. Unfortunately, there are some people that you can speak to them and say, "You shouldn't do this. You're wrong. It's not good. It's not right." But it goes in one ear, not the other. And they say, "Hey, I want to learn from my own mistakes." And who are you to tell me what to do? But if you are someone who lowers yourself to the ground, which means that you're willing to accept the rebuke and the words and inspiration of other people, then l'olam amades, to Koheles promises you that you will endure forever.